what's the importance of also stepping away and just looking at you, the individual, not the business, and focusing on your own personal development plan. So personal development plan is actually part of that 12-step process. So I dedicate time in the book to that as well. And that's, those kinds of things are what's covered really in the structure of the first seven chapters. And then it turns nerdy. Then I start talking about data and metrics and, you know, the importance of metrics and how you can't just look at a single metric. You have to look at them in combination with one another to have a bigger picture or a broader picture of how your business is really performing. So,
you're an entrepreneur and you make vital decisions that hopefully blossom into a business. You're the savvy, out-of-the-box risk taker who believes wholeheartedly in the process of innovation. Innovation that will change the world. This is CEO Chat with Gresham Harkless, and you're about to embark on a journey through the awesome world of business. Gresham is the epitome of drive and desire as he works to help support small businesses and entrepreneurship. And you're about to learn from this entrepreneur how you can improve your odds of success in the business world. Welcoming the host of CEO Chat, here's Gresham Harkless.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresham Harkless from CEO Chat, powered by CBNation.co and Blue 16 Media, your choice for all your web design, SEO, and digital marketing needs. And this was an awesome chat with John Umstead. John is an author and business consultant. He holds a bachelor's degree in management science and an executive MBA. With over 30 years of professional experience, he has managed teams as small as 4 employees to one as large as 700. He led a business that was earning $20 million in annual revenue when he first joined and grew those revenues to nearly $90 million by the time he left. It was during the time that he defined and followed the business's art approach. Umstead now heads up a business consulting firm called C7 Consulting, based out of Urbana, Ohio. And during the chat, we spoke about his background, his Plan Canvas community, some nuggets from his business's art book, and pitfalls that he sees from entrepreneurs and business owners. And this was an awesome chat. So what I want you to do is sit back and enjoy this CEO chat with John Umstead.
Hi, John. Are you still there with me?
I'm still here.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I truly appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule to kind of speak with us. The first question that I usually have for anybody that's on the show is just to ask you a little bit about your story, your background, and what led you to start your business.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Gresh. I really appreciate it. And I guess the kind of the highlights of my background, my career really took an upward turn when I was hired to take over a business that had recently been acquired, and the guys that had previously owned it decided they wanted to take off and go start another company. So the holding company decided to leave it as a standalone entity and hired me in to run that business. And when I took over, it was about $21 million in annual revenue with about 170 employees. And by the time I left, we had over 700 employees and well over $80 million a year in annual revenue. So it was a fantastic experience. I got to run that company as though it was my own. And it was just a great learning experience. So professionally at that time, everything was really going very well. But in my personal life, things were not really going so well. And kind of highlighting that was, in rather rapid succession, the suicides of 3 people that were close to me, with the 3rd being my nephew. And all of that just kind of brought me to an emotionally just a pretty dark place. So I said, there I was professionally, things were going well, personally, not so well. And then eventually that kind of converged on each other. And professionally, you know, I started taking a hit as well. And so around that time is when I decided I just needed to get out of that kind of corporate lifestyle, launch off into my own consulting business. That wasn't an overnight decision. It took me almost a full year after my nephew passed away. To realize that's what I wanted to do. So I started to emerge from that dark emotional place and really kind of find my sense of purpose, which for me, I'm fortunate because my sense of purpose is that I want to help others succeed or focus on the success of others, both in my personal life and my professional life. So I can bring those two things together. Launched off into the independent consulting based on my experience running that company. Wrote a book about that experience. In the book, I lay out a process and templates for planning and managing your plans the way we did as I was growing that business. Only I simplified it so that anybody could follow it. You don't need a business degree to do it. And that book really then became sort of the functional requirements for a software. So where I am today is kind of the founder of a software startup business called Plan Canvas. And that's where we are today. We just recently launched the software itself and we're going through launch pains, you know, and getting ready to, I'm just calling it launch 2.0 at the end of May, beginning of June. So a whole new user interface and some new functions and mobile and revamped website all to boot. So it's almost like starting over again, even though we officially launched about 6 months ago.
Right. That makes perfect sense. Well, I'm super sorry, obviously, to hear all the things that that you went through, but it sounds like, you know, things kind of redirected in the right place for you.
Yeah.
And I think it's so, and it's interesting because I think sometimes as business owners or entrepreneurs or CEOs, we always try to kind of silo certain parts of our lives where personal doesn't interfere with the business. But in reality, a lot of those things overlap. So if you're doing it personally, it could affect you business-wise or vice versa.
Yeah, a lot of gray matter in between those. It's not a clear-cut line, especially if you're a business owner. You know, it one overlaps the other pretty much 24/7, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, even though those were really dark times, I started to refer to that as a transformational tragedy. I went through a tragedy that was so deep that it really transformed who I am and who I want to be and what I want to do. And I talk about that a lot when I give presentations and decided, you know, I really ought to just, that ought to be my next book. So that's what I'm doing presently is writing a book entitled Transformational Tragedy. So.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, yeah, kudos to you for taking something like that, a situation like that, or many situations like that, and using it as a catalyst to kind of help other people, help yourself, but also to help other people. And I'm sure that book will be awesome. So you touched a little bit on kind of like the 2.0 project that you have going on, the Plan Canvas. Could you talk a little bit more about kind of like what you're doing with that, what that kind of helps people out and entrepreneurs and business owners with?
Yeah, sure. So the software is kind of interesting because there are really two broad market lanes for it. There's small business, which includes entrepreneurs, freelancers, you know, startups and existing business. And then there's large enterprise. And so we did the initial launch really geared toward the small business owner. It's a software as a service and folks can just go subscribe to it and use it or have a consultant help them through it, whichever works best for them. So really what this second launch is all about is gearing up for the large enterprise lane. So we've done some things. We originally architected it to scale up to large enterprise, but we designed it really for the small business. So now we're pivoting a little bit. We're doing some things that make it more attractive to the larger companies simultaneously releasing the mobile version of it, which is kind of attractive to everybody. So, but a lot of it's been about getting the messaging right and that sort of thing. And I've been, you know, I'm a consultant, but I have hired consultants to help me as well because, you know, the doctor can be their own worst patient, right?
Yes.
And what that has really taught me is just how ill-prepared we were for launch. From a technical point of view, we were good to go, but marketing, messaging, positioning, all that stuff was just horrific. And so we've been spending a lot of time there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I feel like I always hear the quote that if everything is perfectly prepared or perfectly set up by the time you launch too late.
Too late.
Right. So sometimes that's where, you know, you have an opportunity to pivot or you have an opportunity to make a different change because you, not only are you just making that change because you feel like it's the right thing, but you also kind of have market kind of feedback to tell you what's working and what's not, and you can make a shift kind of quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I answered your question though.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you for the service, like who exactly is it for? Like, what does it help out those small to medium sized business owners do?
There are a lot of pains that startups and business owners have, and it just depends on where they are in their trajectory. right? If you're a startup, you have pains of getting things figured out. You may be seeking funding, loans, or investors. You want to get your pitch. You want to be pitch perfect, right? You want to get your pitch down, whether you're going out seeking investors or loans or not, because you are going into the unknown and you've got a dream and you want to live that dream, right? So the worst thing that an entrepreneur can do is launch their new business without thinking it through. And so what this software really does is, for that audience, it allows you to really think things through from the get-go. We start at the top. So a lot of times when people are planning their business, they start down in the weeds. You know, how much money do I need to bring in? And then you start working spreadsheets and the financials and all that kind of stuff. Well, with Plan Canvas, we start at the top. So what's your vision? You know, where do you see things in a few years? What's your mission? So what is it that you do? What's your purpose? Why are you doing this? You know, that emotional reason for going into this business in the first place. And from there, then we break things down into long-term goals, long-term objectives, and your shorter-term actions. You know, what are you going to do about this? And that's kind of where we start. And then we begin to dig down deeper into your 12-month business plan and what's your sales and marketing strategy, what's your operational plan, what's your staffing plan, what are your financial plans and objectives. So it helps you just in a logical fashion from the top down, think through those things instead of just shotgun blasting or really starting down in the deep weeds and never coming back up to the top. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And I think that's awesome because often, you know, when someone starts a business or starts an organization or whatever, have very, you know, big vision of exactly how to do things. But often you don't ever get to kind of distilling down exactly the steps by which you're going to take to reach those goals. And it's kind of great that you developed something in a software that helps people to kind of distill that out, that down in kind of like a very systematic way, so to speak. Is that correct?
That is correct. And kind of what differentiates us from other tools or products or templates that are out there is that it's not just about putting those plans together. It's about managing them. So, and continuing to execute to them, and you're continually modifying it. You can think of it almost like a, let's use football as an example. So I'm a coach and I'm going to have a game plan, right? Before the game starts, well before the game starts, I've got a plan, right? The whistle blows, kickoff occurs, something you're not expecting occurs on right at the top of the game, right? So your game plan has to change. You don't just throw it away and never use a game plan the rest of the game, right? You're continuously managing your game plan as the game's being played right down to the final second. And business should be the same way. You don't start business without that game plan. And once your business starts, you don't throw the plan away. You also don't stick to it without being, you know, it's not a rigid plan. It's got to be fluid. You've got to be willing to, and able to change as circumstances around you change.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And a lot of, you know, business owners, you know, we don't necessarily do that all the time, but it's a lot of like what you were talking about in the beginning is understanding that we need to make a pivot at this specific point, and kind of like your software kind of helps people to kind of see like, okay, this is the next move we need to make because this happened, not I'm going to, you know, delete my profile and start all the way over from scratch.
Right.
A new idea, which some people try to do.
Yeah. And you know, you're probably aware of this, but most businesses don't operate with any kind of plan whatsoever. They just go out and operate at kind of the seat of the pants. You know, there's probably a couple of reasons for that, Gresh. Probably, you know, one is just that, you know, we don't typically go into businesses that we know nothing about. So, right, we feel like we know what we're doing. So I don't need that. I know what I'm doing. Just go out and do it. So there's a certain amount of hubris that goes along with it. But the other problematic thing is that we just make it too complicated. Right? It's too complex. So that's what I've tried to do, both in the consulting that I do and as well as in the book and in the software, just try to simplify this stuff. It's not that complicated.
Right. You can definitely break it down. And, you know, one of the things I loved, you know, when I was looking at Plan Canvas website was just how you had different scenarios for different people that might be able to kind of use the software. Could you kind of speak to some of those kind of scenarios or different kind of characteristics maybe of those people mm-hmm. that could definitely benefit from it?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about the startup entrepreneur already. Let's talk about maybe a business owner that's been around for a few years and they've made it beyond that startup phase, but now things have kind of just flatlined, right? And aren't growing anymore and you want to do some things differently. So when you're in that type of scenario, that's really your concern. How are you going to grow this to the point that you want it? Are you going to attract and retain engaged employees? You know, those are some of the typical challenges that you see in a business that's been around for a little while. So you do the same exact things as the startup user would. You know, start at the top. What's your vision, mission, purpose? What are your goals and objectives? But as you're walking through that, your perspective is a little different. You know the market, you know what you've been doing, you know what has worked and what has not worked. You kind of know a little bit better what you want to get out of things. So the perspective is a little bit different, but the results are the same. And I'm just going to throw, these stats always bore people, but I'm going to throw them out anyway. If you're a startup and you do this kind of stuff, you are twice as likely to succeed beyond that startup phase. If you have already succeeded beyond that startup phase, you are at least likely to do at least 30% better than your competitors or peers would do if they aren't following planning and execution processes like this. Let's use another example. Let's say I am a franchise owner, or perhaps I'm a regional manager and I've got multiple retail stores that I'm responsible for. All right. So finding myself traveling around to these different locations, working with the on-site managers. And one of the common complaints that a regional or area manager has, or challenges that they have, is pulling themselves out of the weeds so that they're not managing the store. Let the store manager manage it. You manage the area. Well, that's really tough in a lot of circumstances because there aren't good, solid, central digital places to go to kind of have that big picture of how your area is performing. I know that Joe over here at location one has these goals and objectives, and I'm tracking how he's doing. And Joe knows what they are. I know that Sally over here at location two has these goals and objectives. I'm tracking her progress on them, and she is as well. But I can see all that without having to write it down on napkins and put it in Excel spreadsheets and whatever I can get my hands. I've got it in one digital location. So we've actually defined 7 different user types in broad categories like that. And for each of them, we're in the process, again, of modifying the website, but really hitting hard on here's what's in it for you as this type of user. Here's what's in it for you as another type of user.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. But, you know, I love the actual kind of like, I guess, the thesis maybe of everything, which is that, you know, I hear it very often, especially I hear it a lot, you know, because I'm a sports junkie or mm-hmm. fitness junkie around fitness goals, is like just by writing out your mm-hmm. goal and writing out exactly how you're going to execute your goal, your probability of reaching that goal increases dramatically. And it's phenomenal that, you know, a lot of business owners still don't necessarily do that. But it's great that you're tapping on doing that. But not only doing that in a way that one person can do it, but if there's somebody that has multiple employees or multiple managers that work for them, not only can they see their goals, but they can also see their employees or their manager's goals as well. So I think mm-hmm. you kind of put that all in one place.
Yeah, and it's important to understand, even, you know, from a fitness junkie's point of view, let's say you're a fitness instructor and you're working with a client and they come in and say, I want to start working out. Well, some of the first questions that fitness instructor are going to ask are, you know, well, what are your goals? You know, why are you doing this? You know, what's the reason that you want to get in better shape? Are you looking to run a marathon? Are you just looking to live a healthier lifestyle? You want your pants to fit better? What is it? You know, but you get down to, okay, now I understand what your goals are. Now we can start laying out some objectives that support those goals. And then you can start laying out an exercise routine that will allow you to meet those objectives and goals, right? So it's the same thing in business. You've got to understand what they are, because your goals and objectives should go way beyond the financials, right? That's another problem that a lot of business owners and organizational leaders and entrepreneurs face, is they start with, I want to make this much money, you know, and then that's all it becomes about. What we try to encourage people to do is, let's set money aside for a second. let's think about other things. Let's think about social responsibility. Let's think about your employee goals. You know, what's in it for them? Let's think about your customer goals. What's in it for them? And then we can back into the financials once we understand those. Right.
Yeah. And it is leading with, you know, beginning with the end in mind, so to speak, where mm-hmm. you have that specific goal. And then you're working backwards and see like how that kind of manifests itself, I guess, so to speak, in all of the actions that you're taking on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you more about, you know, this, the importance of developing strategies. And, you know, there's this concept and this idea that, you know, I hear very often about how the business plan is dead and how planning is dead and you just need to go through and do it. So I wanted to get your idea and your perspective on what your thoughts are on kind of things related to that.
Yeah, I would love to see the classic form of planning be dead, because I grew up in that world from a professional point of view, and I've been party to developing those big monolithic plans, multi-volume, and they're worthless. I mean, they're absolutely worthless. They aren't actionable. They sit on a shelf and gather dust, and that's about it. They look pretty, right? So I would love to see that kind of planning die. That classic type of business planning is going to be around for a while, most likely because loan underwriters need it, right? So that type of planning, you are writing a plan for someone else. And I hate that kind of a plan. What I want to see is kind of this emergence of writing a simplified plan that's for you, that, you know, to help you get your business off the ground and run it much more effectively and see much greater outcomes from your strategies. That simplified approach to planning, I really hope I think it's already born, but we've got to mature it and grow it up and get people on board with it. Because you say the word business plan and people immediately go, ugh, right? They don't want to do it. No one wants to do it. And it's because the entire industry is heading one way, and the education system is as well. We're trying to head another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, like kind of the evolution. That's what I love, you know, most about the, you know, the software, because it's not you spend, you know, 30 years writing this 300-page business plan. It's that you're evolving with your business and evolving with your times. But of course, like you mentioned, you know, if you're looking for funding or something like that, then you have to kind of go through that process to do that. But I think there's probably a difference between doing something for that and understanding the goal for that versus doing it to actually run your business. And there might be two different goals from that standpoint.
Absolutely. And that plan that you write for those underwriters, I do look at it as kind of a throwaway plan. That is the purpose of it, to get your money. Mm. Right? And once you've got it, set that thing to the side and create a plan that you can actually execute to. It's actionable. And maybe one day that's just one plan, you know, but it's a tough thing. We actually are doing some case study work with a couple of startups that are using the software with the intention going out and getting a loan. And we're about to find out. By the time this airs, we'll know. And the case study will have already been written. But yeah, we're about a week away as of the recording of this podcast from knowing if the work that we did through Plan Canvas is going to satisfy the power brokers in that loan request.
No, that's super exciting to hear, because like we could definitely make sure that we have the link to in our show notes so that people can see kind of like the result of, you know, that actual kind of test with those startup clients. So that's exciting to hear, because that is a way that it could be evolving and changing the overall business plan and the way that we approach like writing and creating businesses. Uh-huh. So super awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's doubly awesome because the loan that's being, it's a nonprofit, but the loan that's being sought is to implement an entrepreneur center. And in this case, a spiritual entrepreneur center. That doesn't mean necessarily religion. That just means, you know, entrepreneurs that are based in some kind of spirituality. Could be religion, but it might not be, you know, a classic type of religion. They or their business is based somehow in spirituality. So this is a pretty interesting experiment that we're running through right now.
Yeah, and I think it definitely is an opportunity where, you know, if that comes about, then also you have a bunch of entrepreneurs that might be participating in that actual program and yeah. at that center to actually be able to leverage that as well and use the software as software too.
Yeah, yeah. Ironically, it's in your neighborhood. So
is it?
Yeah. I will keep you posted.
Yeah, I have to find out where that is. So I'm super excited. I'm even more doubly excited now. So I'm looking at your book right now. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Business's Art book and the podcast that you have been producing for a while. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about the book. We featured it on a CRO bookshelf. So I wanted to know if you could tell us a little bit more about the book and just any information related to that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So the book, honestly, I decided I needed or wanted to write a book shortly after I launched into independent consulting. I just wanted to write it as kind of a calling card or to define myself as a consultant. And I went into it, I'll give you, anybody that's thinking about writing a book, I'll give you a lesson right up front. I went into it thinking, that's all I'm writing it. I don't care if I don't sell any copies. I'm not writing it to sell it. I would totally change that attitude if I were to do it over again. I would say, I'm writing a book because I want to sell this book. And by the way, this book happens to define me as a consultant instead of the other way around. So I think I made a dramatic mistake there. And the book that I'm writing this time around will not go down that same path. But the book, that was the purpose of the book, was to define me. And so I used that experience running and growing that company as the backdrop for the book. I was really trying to say, look, here's a way that you can do this stuff that's simple and easy and anyone can do it. But I did that by weaving the story of that experience in there. And I tried to make it entertaining to an extent as well as informative, because I hate picking up business books and they're just so dry. You know, they just bore you to tears. There might be some good information in there, but you can't stay awake long enough to get to it, right?
Right, exactly.
So I tried to write it in that sense. And I chose the title Business is Art, because ART is actually an acronym for Articulate, Revise, Track. You have to be wise enough to articulate what it is that you want to accomplish. You have to be flexible enough to revise your plans as you move along. And you have to be, again, wise enough to track your progress so that you can make better informed decisions as you're making revisions and managing that plan. Yep. And so Business is ART was a term that I had been using for a few years and to describe that process. So that kind of became the title of the book, and then Plan Canvas. It effectively is the functional requirements for Plan Canvas. So I just continued to play on that ART theme, and that's how Plan Canvas landed with its name. And I don't know if I answered your question about the book or not, but I gave you a whole bunch of stuff right there.
No, I appreciate it. Definitely quality information. And I wanted to kind of drill down a little bit more about the book, because you have it basically organized into 10 sections. So could you talk more about like kind of the thought process behind like putting those in those different sections and like what some of those sections might actually mean and how they would help out business owners?
Yeah, sure. So the book starts out, I just lay out, you know, in the book, I say, hey, you know, there's basically 12 steps to this ART process. And here they are, just right up front. And I actually got a little bit of criticism for that. I'm like, put all the answers right up front, you know, nobody's going to read the rest of the book. And well, if they're interested, they will. But here it is. Here are these 12 steps. So the rest of the book really kind of goes through those steps. Some chapters might take two or three of those steps at a time, but others might take only one at a time. So I've got a chapter on, and then I take a detour here and there. So like I have one chapter that detours off onto the topic of behavior management and just how important it is to develop a culture that is going to be supportive of your strategy. And by the way, your strategy needs to address your employee engagement. You can't have your strategy can't be executed without engaged employees. And your strategy can't ignore employee engagement. They go hand in hand. So I devoted a whole chapter to that. But otherwise, I have chapters to like, you know, what's the difference between strategic planning versus strategic management? What's a business plan versus a strategic plan? And what's the importance of also stepping away and just looking at you, the individual, not the business, and focusing on your own personal development plan. So personal development plan is actually part of that 12-step process. So I dedicate time in the book to that as well. And those kinds of things are what's covered really in the structure of the first seven chapters. And then it turns nerdy. Then I start talking about data and metrics and the importance of metrics and how you can't just look at a single metric. You have to look at them in combination with one another to have a bigger picture or a broader picture of how your business is really performing. So I will say it does get a little nerdy and dry toward the end, but that was kind of unavoidable.
There you go. Yeah, well, maybe those are the parts that I enjoy. So maybe that makes me a nerd. So what are you going to say? What are you going to do? So I guess, could you touch on maybe, obviously, I know you work with and talk with a lot of different business owners. Could you maybe explain like two or three common pitfalls that you see, maybe that you didn't even already touch on, or maybe kind of, you know, delve deeper on some of the ones you touched on that a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners kind of deal with?
Yeah, sure. So outside of what we talked about, that most businesses don't do any kind of planning or executing any plans, that's one big problem. But in addition to that, a big problem that I see a lot is just overconfidence. You know, I'm going to make $1 million next year in revenue. What are you basing that on? Well, I'm good at sales and my product is good, so I'm going to do it, you know. And that's, the confidence is great, right? but you do need a dose of realism in there. So if $1 million is what you really want, fine, set it as a target, but then figure out how you're going to get to that point. And once people start kind of back, it's almost like reverse engineering. That's the end state. That's what I want. You know, okay, what's the next to last step before you get there? Well, I've got to have that. Okay, what's the next last step before that? You know, and eventually you get back to the starting point and one of a couple of things are going to become clear. Either they're going to realize, I was insane for thinking that was possible. Or they might just think, well, it really is possible. If I do this, that, and the other thing, I could actually do this. I could do this. And but that overconfidence is probably the number one thing that I see out there. And the other thing, Gresham, truly most people know somewhere inside why they're doing this. It might not be what they're expressing to others, but they know. And work with them, you drag it out of them. And there are these aha moments and they're like, yeah, that is why I'm doing that. And once they get to that point, things just go so much better and become much more clear, not only for themselves, but all of their stakeholders. And you need those other stakeholders because you can't go it alone. And I guess that would be the third thing is that people fall into that trap of just going it alone. I don't need anybody else to help me, or I can't afford anyone else helping me, or no one wants to help me. And the truth of the matter is everybody wants to help, right? But you have to ask. And you have to give. So
exactly right. Yeah, you have to make sure that, you know, you're asking the question, because sometimes, you know, you rarely get things that you don't ask for. So have to ask exactly for what you want. And you got to be, you know, you have to have, like you mentioned, that giver's mentality where you're giving. And then hopefully, you know, the universe will reward you, maybe not in that direct person, but maybe someplace else. So kind of do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And were there, I guess, any other like pieces of advice or kind of perspective or golden nuggets that you would want to kind of tell like CEOs or business owners?
Like I said, they've got to do the same things. And it's kind of funny because all of this, Businesses Art, Plan Canvas, my consulting, was all born out of actually running a business that had been around for 25 years. And it was in flat markets and we found a way to grow at 400%. And we did all of the same things that a startup entrepreneur would need to do. And I said earlier, the focus, our perspective is different, but surprisingly, the steps, the tasks, the things we need to do are identical. The challenge is greater in the larger organizations because the added complexity is communications. How do you stay in communication with everyone as your business grows to make sure that they know what this thing is all about? I call it painting the picture. You know, what's the painted picture for your business? It's really important when it's just you. It's more important when you start bringing on people. And it's really highly critical when you're now a larger organization because it goes towards that employee engagement. Employee engagement is dismal in the U.S. It's for 15, 16 years, it's been at right about 30% of employees are actually engaged in their job or their employer. Company. And there's a reason for it. And it's because we don't communicate well enough with them. So doing all this stuff for larger companies, that's one of the reasons you do it, so that you can communicate what it is that you're really all about so that they can get on board with it as well.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, having that perspective and making sure that trickles down, that you're able to kind of lead and show people exactly, make sure that they're engaged and they're doing their job and they like what they do and they feel like they're part of the team is really, really important to kind of do. So, John, I truly appreciate you taking some time out and kind of speak with us, tell us a little bit about like all the awesome things you're doing, your podcast, your book, and Plan Canvas, of course. So I wanted to give you the floor or the mic, so to speak, and see if there's anything additional that, you know, you wanted to tell our readers or our listeners about you or your background or any of your business.
Yeah, thanks for asking. You mentioned the podcast and even asked, and I failed to answer your question about it, but I appreciate that. So I do have a podcast that's also called Business is Art. I launched it really about the same time I launched the book, and it was initially in support of the book, but very rapidly into it kind of going back to your comment about having a giver's heart, it really became more about something much bigger. So I kept the title of the podcast the same, but the format really changed quite a bit. I bring in guests. You were a guest on the podcast. I bring in guests all the time. We pick a topic, a business topic. It gives a guest a little bit of an opportunity to self-promote or talk about their own business. But primarily what we're doing is trying to educate people on whatever that topic is. And it was a slow grind, you know, the podcast was, but it's been growing exponentially over the last several months. And I'm quite pleased with where it is now and where it's headed. That's a lot of fun. I don't really get anything out of it, Gresh, other than I feel good about it because I know I'm bringing on guests that share content that is meaningful to the listeners. And that's a good feeling. So yeah, that's about it. I think.
Awesome. Well, we'll definitely make sure to have a link. And of course, my favorite podcast was the one that I was on. So I appreciate you for giving me the opportunity to run my mouth a little bit more. But no, John, I think you're doing some awesome things. I wanted to ask you just one final question, was just that if anybody wants to, you know, hear your podcast or learn more about Plan Canvas or reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
There's actually a number of ways. I personally am pretty easy to find online. So John, J-O-N, Umstead, U-M-S-T-E-A-D. You can find me on LinkedIn or on Twitter. You can go to the plancanvas.net website. The podcast is actually hosted on another startup company podcast network called True Chat. So that's at truechat.org is where the Business is Art podcast resides. But I'm pretty easy to find. And I would love to hear from folks. You know, we don't have to do business together. I like establishing relationships and expanding networks. You never know when you're going to be able to help someone out or they're going to be able to help you out. So it pays to do that sort of thing.
I would definitely agree that it pays to build relationships. So John, again, thank you so much. And this was super awesome. You provided loads of great content and looking forward to hopefully continue to build our relationship.
Yes, likewise. Thank you very much for having me.